The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Today on the show, we have Datin Azlaili Abdul Rahman, Deputy Chief Executive for the Corporate Segment of Social Security Organization, or better known as SOCSO. Datin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi. Let's start with the employment insurance scheme system. When it was first announced, it raised a number of questions. And one of this was, is the EIS system necessary? Your comments on this?
Oh, of course, it is very necessary, Joyce, because it does not only support sustainable employment-generating policies, but also covers the impact from loss of income when workers lost their jobs, as well as providing employment support program and services. And for your information, for such measures, these are among the foundation of the social protection floor promoted by the ILO and the United Nations. And we have a lot of other countries, developed countries, who actually has been implementing EIS in many, many years ahead of us.
Mm. How much has that been collected so far? Because this just started in January.
Okay, EIS started, the law has been passed by Parliament in December last year, and it's started in the 1st of January, and we have so far collected up to March, 26th of March, 2018, a total of contribution amounting to 68.2 million. And for your information, this is not what we expected. We estimate that we should be collecting about RM479.5 million throughout the year with a rate of 0.4% rate of contribution, whereby it's being shared by employer and employee. That means 0.2% employer and 0.2% from the employee. Mm. So up to March, we find that it is not up to our expectation yet. I think this is much due to the non-exposure of people about the system, the employment insurance system. There are a lot of employers who are unaware of it, and there are a lot of employees who don't even know what is EIS all about till today.
But it's compulsory, right?
It is compulsory, but it seems that there are many people who are unaware about it.
So what you're saying, if it's compulsory and it looks like a number of people are still not contributing to it, so what will happen if they don't adhere to it?
Okay, if you don't, it is mandatory for everyone who is covered under the law, which is passed in January. If you do not pay, then we might have to do enforcement. And you might get a penalty for that, and you might be prosecuted. But as I said just now, it's very new. It's actually a fast-track kind of thing, whereby it's been passed in December, and the law is implemented in January. So we are giving some flexibility in the enforcement part. Mm. So what we are doing now, that's why I'm in BFM now, I would like to actually call upon all employers and employees to know their rights and to contribute to the system, the employment insurance system. Because it provides for eligible insured workers, as long as there are retrenchments in the economy. Therefore, the contribution of EIS should remain relatively stable over the business cycle for benefit of contributors as well of the economic system as a whole. So in times of economic slowdown, Joyce, the EIS will actually act as automatic stabilizer for the economy by providing basic income to job losers and thus promoting consumer spending, in which in turn helps to stabilize business and economic activities.
Can't the government fund this program using the existing SOCSO contributions?
Oh no, that would be a different objective altogether. Mm. Because if you look at the existing Act 4, that is for covering employment injury, covering employment permanent disablement and invalidities. That is totally different. That is when you are being faced by a mixture of accidents or death, you know, or terminal diseases under the law. So that is a totally different kind of protection. Well, in Social Security, we have a variety of social safety net. What we are providing in SOCSO is one is to cover the employment accidents, employment invalidity that is under the Act 4. But what we are introducing now on EIS is to cover people who will the impact of losing their income, losing their work by virtue of retrenchment, by virtue of loss of job when they are forced to resign, by virtue of firms or factory close operation, by virtue of redundancy, if you are stuck, you are offered a VSS or MSS, where MSS is mutual separation scheme, VSS is a voluntary separation scheme, they are also eligible. And furthermore, if there is resignation due to employer's breach in terms of contract, example, fail to pay salary within the prescribed period, and resignation due to sexual harassment at workplace, sometimes when you are being sexual harassed at your office and you are forced to resign because you do not want to work with that type of employer, you resign. And claim those the types of qualifying condition that I mentioned just now, it must be made within 60 days from the date of the loss of employment. Mm. So these are the qualifying conditions that EIS is providing.
Okay, and how will the collected funds be utilized?
Okay, for your information, Joyce, I would like to share what the government is providing now. Okay, during the launch period, the government has actually pledged a grant, assistance grant, amounting to 122 million ringgit to per queso for a start off, you know. Okay, we were given that money early of the year to initiative for us to ease the burden of workers who lost their job this year. So as I said just now, the law come into effect in January. But to qualify for the benefit under EIS system, you need to have to contribute 12 months of your pay. That means to qualify, you need 12 months of contribution. Mm. So in that score, you actually payments benefit will be actually given out in 2019. Next year. But the government gave, when the government gave us the grant, the 122 million to us, what we do is we want to ease the burden of workers who lost their job during this year. In 2017, so the workers are eligible for interim payments for RM 600 ringgit for 3 months to get it, to give it to them. All right. So if they qualify with the qualifying conditions that I mentioned before. So for 3 months, they will have to start looking for jobs.
But they'll have to prove, right? They have to make sure, you have to make sure that these are real cases.
Oh, yeah.
How do you do that?
They have to prove that. They have to send required documents like identity card. And they have to come up with a proof of retrenchment, loss of employment, maybe a letter from employer to say, hey, look, you're being retrenched, you're being terminated so far, and you had to need to a copy of a bank account book so that we can transfer your money straight to your account for the 600 ringgit, and the name and address of the previous employer. And we need to do a little bit of investigation in that sense, lah. Normally, what we do is we will send our team to just check on the employer whether the claims are correct.
Yeah, speaking about that, do you have checks and balances in place as well and accountability? Because it's very crucial to put in place to ensure that there are checks and balances in your organization, especially for SOXO, because, you know, you have public money in place and all that. So what safeguards has SOXO put in place to ensure that corporate governance is practiced in its highest level?
Okay, when you talk about governance, the law itself is the governance of, you know, how we manage the fund. Because in our law, there is a provision to specify how the board runs, who are in the board. So the composition of the board is part of the governance. You know, we have a tripartite members where it represents from employer and also represents from employee, MTUC, MEF, and other bodies that we feel that they need to be in our board. And besides that, we have integrity unit, we have internal audit and national audit department, and we even put MACC officer to be attached in our integrity unit. We have one officer from MACC to be contracted under us, and he will be doing all this integrity and governance duty, responsibility. And also we do have the findings from audit to be tabled at the board, special committee, auditor general to obtain clean audit certificate to be inserted in SOXO annual report. And our annual report is being tabled in Parliament every year without fail.
I've been speaking to Datin Azlaili Abdulrahman, Deputy Chief Executive from the corporate sector in SOXO. After this, we'll talk more about SOXO's investment strategy moving forward. Stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, and my guest today is Datin Azlaili Abdulrahman, Deputy Chief Executive of the Corporate Department for SOXO. Datin, last year SOXO received the green light from the government to diversify its investments into property and private equity markets. Anything in your radar?
We have a percentage that we can spend. If we want to spend on land and property, we have a certain percentage. So now we are able to spend 8% for buying a land or a property. So and we have like say we have private equity for 3%. So far we have not actually reached the maximum percentage.
Could you share with us SOXO's investing strategy?
Okay, before I go to the investment, let's talk about the investment track record of SOXO. Okay,
okay.
Joyce, if you don't mind. Okay, actually, SOXO has total asset under management of about 27 billion now, and it aims to achieve a return of at least 5 to 6% under the 5-year investment strategy blueprint. Okay, and we expect it to grow on yearly basis, and from investment income and net contribution from eligible employees. Okay, the annual income that has been able to cover more than benefits payout and operational expenses, leaving behind some sizable surplus fund that SOXO prudently managed to build up reserve. And these reserves are necessary in ensuring SOXO's ability to meet its future obligation. And for your information, Joyce, our type of investment, we are very conservative here. We make sure that optimal level of risk is considered in investment decision. So it means balancing between too conservative that we may go forego good potential return and being too aggressively that could potentially expose SOXO more on the downside potential. So in balancing these two considerations, we are guided by our investment governance and focus on sustaining the optimal return for the long term.
Datin, recently SOXO acquired a 1.87-acre land downtown KL along Jalan Kiaping for over 320 million ringgit cash from MRCB. And the deal valued the land at nearly 4,000 ringgit per square foot compared to just over 3,000 ringgit per square foot that was paid by MRCB in April 2015. So why are you buying this land? The fact that you're an institutional fund and you're not in the property business.
Yeah, as I said just now, that we want to diversify our investment portfolio to many other areas. So purchasing a property is one of the good investment that we knew. And it's based on the recommendation. Normally, it's on the recommendation of the advisor advisor to the investment panel. And it's normally based on the actuary study. So we have to consider what kind of risk that we want to buy, especially on the locations and all. So that is why we are investing in land. So that is within 8% that we are provided for.
Okay, but buying this piece of land, it's still empty, so it has to be developed before you can extract value from it. Some institutional funds, they invest into properties, but usually these funds buy into developed commercial properties for recurring income, or sometimes they JV with property developers to develop the land. What are SOXO's plans for this specific piece of land?
Okay, we are planning to actually to build a tower, a 79-story tower. Okay, and Pakeso takes into account the long-term risk and return potential for each asset class. Okay, with regard to our investment in this land, we have our own plan to extract the potential value from its investment as guided by our investment income strategies and governance. So our plan is designed to ensure long-term source of quality income in line with the nature of social security organization that inherently assume long-term liabilities in order to meet its objective in providing social security protection to the insured person and to their dependents. So it's a good investment.
You reckon it's a good investment?
Yeah,
you all are going in
with
the plans.
Yeah, it's a good investment to venture in a property now.
As earlier you mentioned, you have a limit of 8% for property. So obviously you all are still looking at land and property.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Besides that, We have purchased a land, a building at the, I think it's the MRCB at the KL Central.
New Central?
Yeah, New Central. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, New Central.
So you're going to be...
That's one of the building that we have now.
So you're going to go further into property in a way?
Maybe if the property market is good, then why not?
And just local? You're looking at local? Do you think you all will look outside?
Maybe, yeah, we maybe. But when it comes to investment overseas, we need to get a clearance from MOF. Mm. And that is within the investment guidelines that we have to follow.
Currently, yeah? Are you all overseas?
No.
Yet? No, not yet. Okay, so not potentially yet. You might.
We are looking, we are venturing, but so far none.
Venturing markets nearby, neighbours or further away? Like different regions.
Okay. Yeah.
England, London building?
That one I cannot reveal.
Okay. If I look at your investment fund allocation, currently it's about 40% government securities, 11% corporate debt, money markets about 28%, equities 18%, investments just only short, like only 2%.
We keep ourselves to make sure that we are conservative when it comes to investing, because we do not want employers and employees' money to be, to be spent without any great exposure. We don't want it to be open and great exposure and high risk. Yeah.
Datin, if I look at SOXO's income in 2016, that increased 13% to about 4.4 billion ringgit. But at the same time, your expenditure also increased some 15% to 3.6 billion ringgit. Given that there'll be a new income stream coming in through your EIS, can we expect the cost to continue to expand in tandem as well?
Well, it depends, because when we have the another fund with another law, we keep separate accounts. Mm. We do not combine. But on management purposes, yes, operation costs, we do combine. But when it comes to reporting, the finance reporting will be very different. But of course, EIS is very new. We have just started, and we have actually recruited a few, but not a full force employees yet, staffs yet, for managing the EIS operational matters.
And what's the SOXO's fraud claims ratio like?
Okay, I do not have the actual percentage ratio, but recently what we did was we have actually reported to the news police, and we find that 22 cases being reported, and these 22 cases, the case has been brought to the court. And it involves a chairman, a person who is actually a chairman of one welfare organization in Selangor. And he worked together with two others, person. And the actual 22 cases, the fraud value is about 1.2 million. Mm-hmm. And it's been reported, and the police has actually come out with a press conference, and it was like two, three weeks ago. And I heard they were charged.
What has SOCSO put in place to ensure that, to minimize all these fraud claims?
Okay, we, as I told you just now, we have the integrity unit, and we have actually come up with a fraud unit in our organization. And besides putting one officer, one senior officer from MACC, to handle all these fraudulent claims. And for your information, fraudulent claims, there are few in certain locality that we know. And we find that they do not work alone. They work with the medical people. They work with the doctors. And they work with the insured person also. Mm. So sometimes you feel that the insured person find that they want to give percentage to these people to make sure that they get the claim. And they should not do that. You know, if you are, your case is genuine, you shouldn't get a third party to help you to claim for SOCSO benefit. So these are the manipulative things that are going out there, you know.
Mm. Oh, so the MACC person is there to minimize fraud claims.
Yes.
Oh, but do you have any independent structures in place in SOCSO to ensure that there's no abuse of power in the organization? Because, like, for example, in Iran, the former head of the Social Security organization there was convicted of corruption charges in 2016. So mm-hmm. earlier when we were talking about corporate governance, my yes. question was also, I was wondering whether, is there an independent structure within SOCSO to ensure that there's no abuse of power or no conflict of interest?
Well, independent, we have a unit integrity, which is an integrity unit that manage and look into all the guidelines and procedure, all right, to minimize whatever abuse of power that can be done within the organization. So we even have independent procurement unit to run procurement as it is. And now we have to make sure all these things in good governance. We implemented electronic procurement system to make sure that we do not know who's coming in. So when it's electronic, everybody can come into the system and can actually bid for the job. So these are the things that we are doing now. And we make sure that whoever chairs the meeting to decide on procurement do not have anything connected with the bidders or the people who comes in, you know.
Yeah. I've been speaking to Datin Azlali Abdulrahman. Datin, thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill today. It was a pleasure having you. I'm Joyce Goh for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.